order of service. Grab your Bibles and grab those. If you've got a smartphone, cell phone, a tablet, if you got all of the above, if you have six hands, go ahead and grab those. You can download the app. The app's got the sermon notes. That's an easy way to follow along. There's places you can put your own notes in there. Pretty soon we'll start back having a paper handouts and all. I'm not a scientist, but I think if they can print the newspaper and everybody can touch that, I think we can get away with having a bulletin here. So anyway, I don't understand all of the regulations and whatnot that are going on, but we'll have that for you soon, something you can write on and write with, and I know you'll enjoy that. And so again, just thankful, man, and so thankful to see you. Every Sunday's Christmas, every service, I think, for me anyway, I'm just so happy to see you. I'm so happy to be around you, and I hope you feel that way, especially after quarantine time. Man, even Cheyenne, I'm just glad to see her. And that's really saying something, and I'm missing. And those of you watching are going, who's that? Turn the camera around. No, we won't do that. We're glad you're here and excited about what God has for us. We'll be back in the book of Colossians chapter 1. Again, if you're watching this service, I hope you'll hit that share button. I hope you'll check in and let folks know. Stand with us if you would. Let's read God's Word. Just a few verses. Colossians 1 in verse 9. Last week we went through those first eight, and I want to finish what I hope has been a real helpful series to you about finding your happiness in influencing others for the cause of Christ. And so today we're going to find, follow, and finish the will of God. Colossians 1, verse number 9. For this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You're going to pick out a few words here. One of those is a few phrases. Filled with the knowledge of His will, verse 10. You might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power and all patience or endurance and long suffering. It's that word we get macro and thumeia means long tempered. We like long tempered people instead of short tempered people. And all the people who live with short tempered people say amen. With joyfulness. Now, everything about those sounds good to me, and I want to help us. We're going to find, follow, and finish the will of God. Would you pray one more time with me? Our heads are bowed. Those that are watching online, those of you here, would you just pray this with me? God, help me to find, follow, and finish the will of God. Help me to find, follow, and finish the will of God. Father, help us right now. Help my voice to be strong. Help me to enunciate well. But more than that, would you, the great preacher, preach on the inside while I'm preaching on the outside? May you get all the honor and the glory for the service this morning. May Jesus be the hero of every story. May you be uplifted. And God, I pray that you'd use us, Lord. I pray that in these moments of great unrest, in these days of cultural chaos, that there would be the simplicity of the Scriptures that would point us to your plan and your desires and your heart. Help us. God, if there are those who are here don't know you as Lord and Savior, they've never repented of their sins, may today be the day that forever marks the change of their life, the day that you took over. God, I ask you to help us this morning. Speak to every heart. Thank you for loving us. Thank you most of all for dying on Calvary's cross for our sins. We love you and we praise you. We ask all this in your son's precious name. And amen. I mean, you can be seated. Be seated. I love a good story. I love a good book. I love a good adventure tale. And I like one where they're trying to find the treasure. Anybody ever read any treasure books? X marks the spot. Anybody? I'm sorry. Nobody's going to raise their hand. Anybody ever heard of a treasure book? Where X marks? Okay, there you go. A few of you. I remember as a young boy reading a Treasure Island and Robinson Crusoe, and man, just that was awesome. That was great. I remember even as a young lad now watching the immortal movie, The Goonies. Anybody ever remember watching The Goonies? Don't raise your hand for other things. Nobody? I'm the only person. All right, four of you watched The Goonies. All right, here you go. Don't look for it now, but as soon as you leave, go download The Goonies. You need to owe it to yourself to at least watch some of it. And then if you can tell me how they got the pirate ship in there, you let me know. And we like it. Some of the biggest blockbusters in recent memory. Movies like National Treasure. And National Treasure. And then National Treasure 2. And then National Treasure 3. I'm just messing. I don't think there is one of those. And we on and on. We even like real honest to goodness pirate movies, right? You got the Pirates of the Caribbean, or if you're from another part of the country, the Caribbean. And you got Johnny Depp trying to find the treasure. And it seemed like that's what all those movies were about, I suppose. And we like them. But there's one theme in all of those movies and all those books. And it goes something like this. They don't want you to find the treasure. Right? You think about it. How ridiculously hard is it? You go back to Treasure Island. There's nothing but problems to try and find the treasure chest. You go to the Goonies movie, and man, that wasn't real simple. It's pretty scary a couple of times for those poor little urchin children whose parents are nowhere to be found. You move on to National Treasure, you gotta go to the ends of the earth and be a scuba diver. You gotta be skilled in all this stuff, and you gotta break in and steal the Declaration of Independence. I think that's hard. Some of you are going, that's no problem. It happened in an hour and a half. Okay, I understand. And it's hard. Pirates of the Caribbean, I don't know exactly how they ever found the treasure. You got to have a compass that's broken and blah, 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 blah. The moral of all those movies and stories is nobody wants you to find the treasure. Nobody wants you to find it. It's really, really hard to do. And we come across today's subject here. We come across today's subject about finding and following and finishing the will of God, we catch pretty quickly there's something different. God begins to talk about this like it's something you ought to have a handle on. You ought to be able to find it and discover it and apparently continue in it. But if I ask, and I asked our daughter, and I asked a few other people online and all, you know, what's one of the first things, if I say the phrase will of God, what's one of the first things come to you? Everybody look at me for a second. What's one of the first things comes to you? And they all said, almost with one voice, they all said the same thing. Either hard or mystery. Mystery. Will of God. You can almost hear the theremin playing. Ooh. Usually I can do that a little better, but anyway, I didn't. So if you can make that sound, we'll dub you over later. And you hear that. Somebody talks about it. It's mystical. It's mystical. You got to light three candles, buy four journals, you know, and listen to soft music play all day. You know, it's kind of that thing. It's either a mystery, it's mystical, but for most folks, you mention that concept and it's maddening. It's maddening. What do you mean God has a plan for my life? I'm in charge of my life. There's that response. So the other response was, why can't God just tell me? Why can't God just spell it out? Why can't God just send me a telegram, email, text message? I get messages and emails from people I don't want. Why can't God just send me one? And anybody ever felt any of the three, mystical, mystery, or maddening? Mr. Glaspie's about to have a Pentecostal fit up here at the front. Yeah, anybody else? Well, sure. I think for some reason we've kind of described it that way. Now let me give you a timeout. If you've never heard the expression will of God or plan of God, or you never even thought about it being personal, I'm going to invite you on a little bit of a journey this morning. I'm going to give you some handrails that'll be a real help to you. I'm going to give you some things that have stood the test of time that are very biblical, whether you're getting started in life, whether you're trying to find a mate, whether you're wondering if you should have found a mate. I'm messing again because all of you amen. Some of you amen inappropriately when I say that. Or whether, you know, you're at the retirement age and you think maybe most of life is behind me. I believe God's word applies to you wherever you are. And I believe God wants you to know, fine. He wants you to follow. And he wants you to finish his will. Let me help you there. Would you say those three words with me? Find, follow, and finish. Find, follow, and finish. I got a weak voice. Y'all can do better than I'm doing better than y'all. Find, follow, and finish. Find, follow, and finish the will of God. The will of God. Here in the U.S., we're kind of like this church at Colossae. They had all these false teachers, and the false teachers said a few things. They said, knowing God is all about emotion. It's all about emotion. Brother Blair, last week or a few weeks ago, said he was really excited. He was going to take a couple laps around the church. I pulled out a five. I would have given it to him if he'd have done it. I just wanted to see it. And Tommy said for $2 he would do a trot and a little jog. And we're here. It's all about emotion. I like emotion. LeBron James said he's not going to play for millions of dollars if there are no fans in the stand. Again, I'll sit on the bench for $500,000. I'll show him. He wants to have the emotion in the stadium. I like emotion. I like emotion. I was watching a Southern Gospel group from years ago sing. The guy said, I really like this crowd. He said, some churches we go to, we start singing and a funeral breaks out. I've been to those churches, I think. And so I like some emotion. I like folks to act like they're there. I don't know why you get out of bed and get all dressed up and come and frown. I don't understand. I think there ought to be joy among God's people. And truth of the matter is, this ought to be one of the happiest places in Hardin Valley because everybody else is chasing either the dollar or the next piece of fun. And they don't have as much reason to rejoice as you do. Somebody say amen to that. Man, there. I like emotion. I don't know, emotion is the key to finding God's will because some of us are wired different. Some of us get real excited real fast. Some of us slow burn. Some of us, a little bit of a grin is as good as it gets. The rest of you, you watch a Hallmark commercial or a coffee commercial, and you're done for the rest of the day. I mean, you're sniffling. You're sniffling all evening. Somebody says, what's wrong with you? I'm so happy. I don't understand that, but I appreciate it. I don't think it's emotion. There are more than a few folks in our country who say, man, the way to know God's will is ecstatic utterance. Ecstatic utterance. If you bark at the moon, if you'll howl like a dog, Canada for several years, there was a church with false teaching. They called it the laughing revival. People would laugh till they'd have to go to the bathroom. They go to the bathroom, they come back, they laugh some more. They said, we're really close to God because we got the giggles. I appreciate you having the giggles, but nowhere in the Bible you find ha, ha, ha is a way to get close to God. And so there's folks with ecstatic utterance. There's other folks say you just need to be enlightened. And God's will is like a 2x4. Or it's only for people who are really special. Really special. They're the deep people. They're deep people. Nod your head if you've ever been around those folks. Doesn't matter. They're just deeper than you are. They're just more spiritually attuned than you are. They got all the Jesus junk on their arms. They always talk in riddles. You ask them something, they reply with a question. Again, as older I get, the more I just want to slap them, right? I asked you a straight question. Give me a straight answer. Didn't I? You didn't. Come here, boy. And, those kind of people. And some of you are going, preacher, you're not really like this. Okay, good for you. I'm glad you think that way of me. I don't think it's through emotion. I like emotion. I'm glad for emotion. Somebody said, you can have marriage without love, but it's no fun. I like emotion. I like emotion. I like getting real excited. I'm getting real excited. Last time, or two times ago, when my basketball team won the NCAA championship, I got outside, got in the car, blew the horn, and awoke the neighbors. They weren't real happy, but I really didn't care. I didn't realize it was going to be almost 20 years before we did it again. And I like that. I like getting real, real excited. And I think that there are times and seasons when we are very close to God and it's easier than in others. But I don't think I have any advantage on some of this, on this area, than you do, or anybody watching. So what is it? What is it? Well, if we use the Old Testament as it's intended, and that is to illustrate for us the New Testament, I think we catch the pattern here. I think the pattern is observable. And it's understandable. If you're writing any notes down, let me encourage you to do that. The Old Testament pattern is always observable and it's always understandable. You say, that's not so. I beg to differ. If you go all the way back, the priest, the chief priest, would wear a breastplate with different colored gems on them. They would light up. It was called the Urim and the Thummim. They would ask questions and seek God, and they would, and the stones would light up in response. It was observable. It was understandable. If you're still with me, say amen. It was observable. It was understandable. God sent them prophets, and God sent them judges. Guess what the prophets and the judges said? Thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord. They listened to the prophets. They were okay. They didn't listen to the prophets and the judges. They got in trouble. Hello? When we don't listen to the Bible, guess what we do? We get in trouble. Anybody here been in trouble because you didn't listen to the Bible? Say amen. Amen. All right, the rest of you, you need to repent. And it was observable, it was understandable. When the whole crowd was moving, when it was the children of Israel on the run 40 years in the wilderness, they had a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night to tell them which way to go. It was observable, and understandable. It was observable and it was understandable. So when Paul says here, I'm praying for you that you be filled with the knowledge of his will, he can't be giving us a treasure hunt. We can't be pirates waiting to fight with us. We can't have to travel to Antarctica and then be a deep sea diver and steal the Declaration of Independence. Whatever he's praying for us must be observable and understandable, because that's the way it was for the children of Israel in the Old Testament. So God wants you to understand, and God wants you to follow his revealed plan. God wants you to understand and follow his revealed plan. Now, I wish I had the time to give you a minute or two here. If you've never had that thought that God cares how you live your life, this is a big deal for you. If you've never thought God wanted input on your day-to-day life, your vocation, your avocation, your relationship, that God has input, good input, his best input in your life. And this is a big deal. If not, I want to encourage you to revisit that for a second. But God wants you to understand. God wants you to follow his revealed plan, which another way of saying is find, follow, and finish the will of God. Are you interested this morning? Are you interested this morning? You with me? I've just got a few ideas that'll be a big help to you. If you're taking any notes, now's the time to do it. If you're using the app, now's the time to click on it, look at the sermon notes, and dig in here. He gives, and I just broke it out by the three verses here. God wants you to what? God wants you to know his will by knowing the Word of God, by knowing the Word of God. You're still in Colossians? Nod your head, wave at me, raise a pinky here too. Colossians chapter 1, look at verse number 9. Colossians 1, verse 9. Excuse me. For this cause also, all that we talked about last time, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Let me just pause here. Again, there's so much good stuff here. I reserve the right to revisit these three verses, to revise my comments. This unceasing prayer has two ideas. John MacArthur, in his excellent commentary on this passage, says there's two attitudes. One is God consciousness. The other is people consciousness. You want to make an impact in the lives of others, you need to be God conscious. Constantly in that attitude of fellowship with God and cognizant of his presence. And then people conscious. I don't know who to thank as a young man for giving me this question, but I've used it for almost 30-some years, and it has suited me fine. What can I pray for you about? What can I pray for you about? You want to be a biblical follower of Christ and follow the precepts of the Bible? Learn to ask that question. What can I pray for you about? How can I pray for you? What can I do for you in this area of prayer? Paul says, I've been praying for you. We usually pray for people who are what? In a mess. Pray for people who are out of fellowship with God. He's praying for people who are doing well. We need to be cheerleaders as well as first responders, people whose lives have made a mess and a wreck there. But love that thought. Strengthen with what? I'm sorry. That you might be filled with all the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I continue to say there is no wisdom from God without knowing the Word of God. There's no such thing as biblical wisdom apart from the Bible itself. You got to know the Bible in order to know the Word of God. You got to know the Bible in order to know the Word of God. Say, does God really want me? Does God really want me to know His will? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. There are at least six times in the New Testament where God talks about His will. God talks about His will. He actually uses the phrase, will of God. If He wants it to be observable and understandable, still with me, say amen. Y'all not smiling anymore with your mask off. If it's observable and understandable, if He's commanded me to know it, then maybe I'll just run these down a little bit. So let me help you. Again, if you're taking notes and references here, the Bible says what? The Bible says, what's His will? His will is for all men to be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. There, God's will. God will have all men to be saved. One of the reasons I am of the theological persuasion I am, one of the reasons that I hang out with who I hang out with is because I do not believe God has reprobated a group of men who cannot be saved. I believe when John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life, that whosoever means whosoever. And when He says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, who will have all men to be saved, that's God's express will. God desires for everybody in this room and everybody watching online to know Him. You want to be a part of God's will. You want to follow God's will. You start at the door of salvation. That's God's will for every man, woman, boy, and girl. One of the reasons you came out yesterday, gave your hours, wrote to you, had a cramp. I'm looking over at you, Sam. I know you had a big one. And if you didn't use your joystick hand, you'd have been okay. And one of the reasons you did that is because God will have all men to be saved. Somebody says, well, no, here it is. It's observable, it's understandable, it's plain. God will have all men to be saved. God will have all believers to be Spirit-filled. Your Bibles are open there. Do me a favor. Look over at Ephesians chapter 5. Flip over. It's too many verses to put on the screen here. Ephesians chapter 5. Go back just a few pages in your Bible. If you're on your app, you're already there on your Bible app. Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse number 17. Ephesians 5, verse number 17. I quoted 17 to you. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Some of you in your Bibles have a note there. Be being filled with the Spirit. It gives the, don't be under the power of alcohol, but be under the power of the Spirit. That's the process there. Verse 19, what does that look like? Speaking yourself, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word filled there in Ephesians is the same word as filled here in Colossians. We use filled a little differently now, 2020, than the idea here. It's not the idea of filled as I am full of necessarily food, but it's the idea of being filled like the disciples were on the sea when the storm was raging, and they said they were filled with fear. They were overwhelmed and controlled by fear over and over. So when we're talking about being full of the Holy Spirit of God, or we're being filled with the knowledge of His will, we're talking about being controlled. We're talking about giving and ceding control to another. See, how do I know that's what you're talking about? Because He gives me some evidence here. To be continually controlled by the Spirit of God means that things are different. For example, my music is different. Speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Does that mean I never ever listen to anything that's not a psalm, that's from the book of Psalms, a spiritual song? That would be something like a testimonial song. We sing some of those here, or hymn. We sang one this morning. Does that mean I never do anything of that? No, but what it's saying, what captivates my heart is this kind of music, because this is how I am being controlled by the Spirit of God. This is the earworm, if you'll allow, of my life. Say, does that mean I can never, ever listen to another one of those teeny bopper songs? It talks about breaking up with the 25th boyfriend. I wish you'd quit listening to those teeny bopper songs, because that girl's kind of nuts. But anyway, does that mean I can never listen to the Beach Boys' "Endless Summer" again? You know the words. You know the lyrics. Knock yourself out. I'm not saying you never ever hear another song. It's not real spiritual. I'm saying that the melody of your heart are songs that honor and glorify the Lord, because that's who's in control. That's what means being spirit-filled. I can flip that around. If there's no spiritual music in your life, you've got a heart problem of being submissive to the Spirit of God. That's another sermon. That's another series. He talks about how I'm the music of my heart. He talks about the saying thanks there, giving thanks always. An attitude of gratitude is a mark of being spirit-controlled. An attitude of gratitude is a mark of being spirit-controlled. Say, my young person has a bad attitude. If they don't have an attitude of gratitude, it's not a manner problem, it's a spiritual problem. Somebody say amen to that. By the way, if you're an adult and you're grumpy bumpy and you never know how to say thank you, and you grump, and you know your expression for a good meal is a big burp, you got a spiritual problem too, and a manner problem. And the Bible here says saying thanks there is those evidences of spiritfulness. I'll look at Colossians 3, verse 16. I'll put it on the screen for it. Colossians 3, 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another. Here it is, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. I believe firmly that the parallel is there, that to have the word of God in my life dominant is the exact same idea as the Spirit of God dominant in my life. See, what do you mean? When I'm taking in the Word of God, I'm giving the Spirit of God what He needs to help me act like I'm in the presence of the Lord Jesus. Say, show me. When Peter was in the presence of Jesus, surrounded by all those soldiers, what's he do? He pulls out his little sword. He tries to cut off the high priest's ear, head. He misses. He cuts off his ear. Jesus saves him from execution, picks up the ear, puts it back on. When Peter's in the presence of Christ, he's miraculously bold. When Peter's in the presence of Christ, he does the miraculous. Nobody gets out of the boat to walk on the water except who? Peter. So he didn't walk very far. He walked more on the water than you or I have. In the presence of Christ, he did the miraculous. Wait for it. In the presence of Christ, he said the miraculous. He said the miraculous. See, what do you mean? Jesus asked him, who do men say that I am? They started talking, and Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. In the presence of Christ, he said the miraculous, did the miraculous, and was miraculously bold. Jesus ascends to heaven. Acts chapter 1, the Spirit comes manifest. Acts chapter 1, verse 2, we look in on Peter, who is now being controlled by the Spirit of God, and what's he do? Peter says, the miraculous. I say unto you, men and brethren, this day that the Jesus whom you crucified is Lord. And unless you repent, you'll likewise perish, and 3,000 are saved that day. He says the miraculous. They haul him in before the rulers and say, you better quit preaching this way. And is you declaring us men and brethren what we ought to do? Peter, who ran and hid and lied and cussed one time, two times, three times the night Jesus dies, now all of a sudden won't shut up and won't back down. He's miraculously bold when he's controlled by the Spirit of God. So you're going to go 3 for 3, preacher? I'm going to go 3 for 3, preacher. Because what do? They begin to bring the lame and the deaf and the blind to the apostles. And what does Peter do? He does the miraculous. To be controlled by the Word, filled with the Word of God and controlled by the Spirit of God, is to act like you're in the very presence of Jesus Christ. When Paul here says to be filled with the knowledge of His will, you are knowing the Word of God enough so that you live your life like you're in the very presence of Jesus Christ. You know the will of God, to be Spirit-controlled, to sing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Not only that, but to live for God, to be clean, to be holy. That's that word sanctified there, sanctified. This is the word, the guys in the Saturday group, we spent a lot of time on Saturday. For this is the will of God. Even your sanctification, your holy living, that you should abstain from fornication. That's an old word, that's a great word. All kinds of sexual sin. All kinds of sexual sin. Say, should I pray about leaving my spouse and moving in with somebody else? Nope. You don't need to pray about it. God's already spoken about it. Somebody say amen. Should I pray about whether I should go move in with my boyfriend? Nope. You don't need to pray about it. God's already spoke about it. This is His will for you. This is His will for you. Say, I don't like that preacher. Be mad at me all you want. I didn't write it. This is God's will for your life. By the way, how many of you think God knows how for you to have a better life than you do? He does. He always does, right? Is it God's will for... No, it's not God's will. Is it God's will for me to have all this cable jazz and all this internet stuff and watch all these things, men full of people bed hopping and naked and half naked, blah, blah, blah? It's not God's will. Say, preacher, you're being strong this morning. I'm not being strong at all. The Bible is being clear. I want you to be filled with, controlled by the will, the knowledge of the will of God. This is the will of God for you. It's the will of God for you to be thankful. We said that a second ago. Say thanks. Say thanks. The people of God ought to be characterized by gratitude. People of God ought to be characterized by gratitude. You know there's a spiritual short circuit in your life when you all of a sudden be about me, my, instead of being grateful. I think that's a parent's job to foster that in a child. I think that's, as adults, that's our opportunity to show gratitude. Because let me help you. If you won't be grateful horizontally, I doubt you're being grateful vertically. To say thanks, to be submissive. Peter says to a bunch of people being persecuted by bad government, submitting yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the King or Supreme, submitting yourself. Why? So that you put to silence evil men. I think we have an opportunity to be submissive, not only one to another, but to be submissive when we have the opportunity to government. We on purpose spread the chairs disinfected, not necessarily because I'm a biochemist or because I think Dr. Fauci is, you know, infallible. We do this pretty easily. We show our submission biblically to government. So I don't think we ever should submit to government. I can tell you what God's will is. Again, the rest of that, I didn't put all the verse up there. This is what God's will for us is best we can. Again, when government interdicts with Scripture, then we go with Scripture. But I don't think I'm honoring God by talking about blowing up everything and all this stuff that happens in other places. It seems like no, we do that. Let me help give you one more. I don't want to get all ragged. This is the will of God, so doing, to put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. It's God's will sometimes that you suffer. It's God's will sometime that you suffer. I've said it before. I think you can suffer for doing what's right. I think we know very little of that. We know very little of job loss. We know very little, so many things. I've sat from here to the front row with a man who was chased out of his country. And they started a church, and they had a satellite church in another village. And the pastor went to the building where they were meeting. When he came back, he saw the smoke from blocks away. And by the time he got there, they had tied up that man's family in the center of the house and set it on fire and dared anybody to try and go in and rescue him. That happened, give or take, 15 years ago in a Eastern country. We don't know very much about suffering for that reason. We don't know, we can suffer because of sin. We can suffer because of sin. Be sure your sin will find you out. You can never sin and win. The best thing ever happened is you suffer for it now rather than see it in eternity. But you, my friend, the wheels of God may turn and grind slowly, but they do turn and they do grind. And there is suffering for sin. Sometimes when you're done with your suffering for sin, it's not done with you, the consequences. And sometimes what you do affects others in a way that you can never stop or control. Wait for it. And then you suffer just because you're a child Adam. Aches and pains and this and that. And there are diseases and all that kind of stuff. And it's just because this body is not meant forever. And there's a new body coming. He says, let me help you. If you do this in God's will, you remember that you do this in well-doing. You do this if you suffer in well-doing. Understand what God is doing in your life. And it may just be His will that you have a hard time here. And that gives some context to suffering. And that gives some context to suffering. I posted something this week from Oswald Chambers to remind us that in the will of God, it's okay to hold His hand no matter what the circumstance. No matter what the circumstance. We started our journey here. I said it, and I've said a little more about it lately than I ever meant to. But we were not about to have the first church of Rodney's cancer, and this wasn't going to be a play-by-play, and we weren't going to ride the roller coaster. It wasn't my church to start with. It was His church. And if He kept me or took me home, it was His decision to make. All we prayed for is not to waste it. And you say, well, you've talked about it too much. I apologize to you. I haven't meant to. I meant to just act like anybody else. If this is what God's got for me, then we go through it. We don't waste it. And let me help you. If the roller coaster continues for years and all, and you guys don't get rid of me, we're still not going to have the first church of Rodney's cancer. I'm going to have the first church of Rodney's up and down. We may have the first church of Rodney's full and luscious eyebrows if he ever come back. And but until then, and no, I don't want to stay bald because everybody, including other people, rubs my head and it's very disconcerting. And now all of you are going, I want to rub the preacher's head. You cannot do it. You can do it if you want. You just got to. Rub Brandon's head. Brandon's got a good head. Good head to rub there. Brandon keeps his trim. Will of God to suffer. Will of God to suffer. I think there's two more ideas, and I want to give you three practical points. Let me help you. Observable, understandable. You say, well, preacher, what about decisions? Okay. Decisions. Look in the verse. Verse 9. We pray for you to desire that you be filled with the knowledge of His will. It's a compound word, means personal knowledge. You got to take in God's word for yourself. You got to pay attention to preaching. You got to walk with God in the day. You've got to have your devotions. You got to start learning Scripture. I can guarantee you, a Wednesday Zoom group, Thursday morning group, Saturday morning men's group, those of you that are learning the verses, trying to learn the verses, you're about to see one of the most radical changes in your life. As you put God's word in your heart, you're about to see God just do something amazing. Do something absolutely, positively amazing that you do this, wait for it, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that's the application of God's word. That's the application of God's word, wisdom and spiritual understanding. When I have that, then I can make good daily decisions. I make good daily decisions. I understand what God's doing. I now have a basis to handle things. I have a basis to handle things. And as things come up, and again, there's a whole other couple of sermons that are there. But I encourage you, when you at a fork in the road, don't do like Yogi Bear said and take it. When you're at a fork in the road, seek the wisdom of the Scripture. and make that application. And there's those last two, and I'm just going to give them to you, and we'll revisit them. I think you do the will of God. That's verse 10. You walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing. You do the will of God as you obey the word of God. You do God's will by obeying the word of God. This is God's will, that you obey God's word. You obey God's word. You need to do that. You need to do that. Somebody says, you know, whatever. Knowledge without obedience breeds arrogance. And after a while, it breeds apathy. I got news for you. East Tennessee is full of people who think they know a whole lot of the scripture, and they don't follow hardly any of it. Breeds arrogance, breeds apathy. You do the will of God as you obey it. Then you continue as you rely on the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Say, I can't do God's will. You do God's will, verse 11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, to all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Long-suffering with joyfulness. You bear up under whatever comes your way because you have been strengthened with his might. You have been strengthened with his might. All of these, this endurance through hard times. So all this endurance. So let me give you a couple things. There's no wisdom. I'm done. Stay with me just about 2 minutes. There is no wisdom from God apart from knowing the word of God. It's just not. It's not what you think, and it's not what you feel, and it's not even what you believe. It's what does the Bible say? And when God has spoken, that's what we obey. There's just no wisdom from God. You don't pray about gathering together, and we're still in the weird COVID thing. I'm not throwing rocks. I'm not. Be safe. I got all that. I'm just saying, when we gather, we're supposed to gather. The Bible's pretty clear about that. The Bible is pretty clear about to love one another. We don't have any wisdom from God apart from knowing the Word of God. There's another one. Memorization enables meditation, which fosters wisdom. The more you know of the Word of God, the more you think about the Word of God, the more you can apply God's Word in daily life. We usually don't have wisdom problems as much as we have word problems. Everybody with me? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Brother Bobby, right? You posted that verse yesterday. Thy word have I hid in my heart. This is it. This is the way to do it. This is the way to do it, man. This is God working in my heart, my life. Memorization. Then you say, well, preaching again. I have quite a few messages on this, but I'll leave it here. If I want to follow God's will today, that's the best plan to be in God's will tomorrow. That's the best plan to be in God's will tomorrow. Do God's will today. So you didn't really talk about making decisions. Again, just for time's sake, we'll save that for later. Man, if I'm in the Word, I'm in prayer, if I'm in God's house, I'm doing what God's told me to do, then today, then that sets me up to be there tomorrow. So what about all the decisions? Again, just allow me a different message for that. But follow God's will today. Say, what about tomorrow? The Bible says tomorrow's his. Don't think not for tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Let me serve God today. Most trouble I've ever gotten in is trying to give God advice. God, if you just listen to me, you say, preacher, you said all that. Let me help you. I said it would be simple. I never said it'd be easy. I never said it'd be easy. You say, I'm in this relationship. I didn't say it'd be easy. I said it's simple. You say, I'm struggling with this. I didn't say it'd be easy. I said it'd be simple. It is observable, understandable. And God gives you grace for your situation. And God gives you help for where you are. I get all that. I'm saying to you, it's not some big foggy mystery. God has laid it out in the Scripture. What's the easiest thing in the world maybe to understand some of this stuff about the will of God? What's some of the hardest things to do? To follow the will of God. Verse 11, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power. Who's going to help? Who's got to help you to follow God's will and to finish God's will? It's going to have to be God himself. Everybody with me here? Man. because it's easier for me to say than it is for me to do. God to help us here. Man, to live right, to be sanctified, God's got to help me do that. To make those good choices, man, God's got to help me do that. It's observable, it's understandable. Never ever said it was easy. So I'm going to need His help. Find, follow, and finish the will of God. Hey, preacher, that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at too. Would God help us do that? Would you pray with me right now? Our heads are bowed.